Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to the Power of Love Radio Show, only on LA Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Power of Love Show, sponsored by the Dede Jackson Foundation. We believe that through the power of love, everything is possible with love on your side. I am TJ Jackson, and I'm here with my two brothers, Terrell Jackson.
Why are you smiling like that, T?
Because I'm kind
of... You're happy to be back.
Yeah, maybe that's why. I missed last week. Terrell Jackson, you said what's up?
Yep.
All right. Terrell said what's up. Taj Jackson?
What's up?
Taj, of course, trying out different voices. We are live on the Power of Love Show, so if you're listening to us right now, thank you for joining us. And later on in our show, we will be opening up the phone lines to taking up where we can take questions and you can contribute, you can comment. But if you don't want to wait for the phone calls, if you don't want to wait for us to open up the lines, you can always tweet us right away. To tweet us, you could tweet us at DDJ Foundation. So that's DDJ FOUNDATION.
So I was doing research.
Come on, Taj.
You told me to do that. You can blame CNN. Taj. Don't blame me.
That was Taj doing the research, so I'll give him a pass. But if you're going to call, if you want to call in, the number's 323-203-0815.
Again, did we start the show?
It's 323-203-0815. Taj has jokes. None of my brothers are going to do the disclaimer, so I'm going to do it. We are not licensed therapists. We're just ordinary people who have experienced loss in our lives. We've been impacted by it, and we've learned from it. So we want to share our opinions in an attempt to help you overcome what you're going through. Saying that, if you need professional help, we urge you to seek it and to find it. Don't just rely on us. Let's get right into it. Terrell Jackson.
Yep.
How was your week?
It was all right. Seems like there's so much like going on.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's because we're leaving town next week.
Yeah.
We leave like in 8 days.
Yeah.
That always makes you feel like you got a lot to do.
Yeah.
And then I'm just noticing, because I like to make lists of things that I need to do and cross them out. But it seems like every time I cross my list out and get done, there's like another 20 things to do.
Yeah.
Just never stops.
I think that's just called responsibilities and getting older.
Yes. But it's always like a lot.
Overwhelming.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. Very overwhelming. I don't know how you get ahead of that yet. I haven't figured that one out. Maybe you don't get ahead. Maybe you just have to like push it back. I don't know. Do you feel that way?
Always. A lot of
always
it,
so much.
Yeah, that's why I love the simple life. I'm like been thinking about that. Like even when I go to Nashville,
mm-hmm.
and you know when I lived in Texas, I just love that simple life. And it's a lot of that, man. It's
you think?
Yeah, I know.
When you, well, traffic and all that doesn't
it
help.
It doesn't
that
help.
Eats away the time.
It eats away the
but
time.
But it has a lot to do with my sleeping. Because that's why... And I've been going to sleep earlier, but I feel like I've been doing so much less.
Yeah, but you need the sleep for your energy to do well in the other things. But the reason why I think like traffic and the hustle bustle, it raises your anxiety and raises your kind of aggression.
You're always on the rush.
You're always on the edge. You know, in some way. And it's not good. It's not healthy. And it makes you feel like you're behind. And
you're playing catch up.
It's not, no bueno. No bueno.
No bueno.
Taj Jackson, how was your week?
It's cool. I don't really remember. I've just been kind of gearing towards our show.
Mm-hmm.
Not the show. The performance we're doing.
Why not this show?
Well, this too, but...
Well, you want to talk about your detox?
Oh, I'm planning a detox. Yeah, yeah.
That's a big deal.
14 days, but the show's in less than 14 days, so I'll be smack in the middle of my detox.
Is coffee bean in there?
I have to read the instructions of the detox first to make sure what I have to do and what I can't do.
Are you at the point if you get rid of coffee bean, you're going to get headaches and things?
Yeah. If I get rid of coffee in general, I'll get headaches, yeah.
So you're hooked on it?
Yeah, my body naturally needs coffee or something, caffeine, I should say. Caffeine.
Wow.
Yeah.
They got you.
They definitely got him.
Yeah.
You know, he's not even fighting it.
No.
I don't think he cares.
I don't think he likes it.
He's already. Well, my week was crazy. I was in Nashville.
Nashville.
Yeah, I almost said Dallas. But I was in Nashville for 4 days, did a lot of writing, which was great for me. What else did I do? Saw my good friend Brad from high school.
Yep.
I spent time with him and his wife Jenny, which was always fun. And then,
what was the weather like out there?
Great. Which was surprising because everyone was always talking about how it's going to be hot and muggy and humid, you know? But when I got out there, it was perfect. It was like high 70s and low 80s. So it was wonderful.
Yeah.
It was wonderful.
That's great.
And when I go into cities, I like to stay in random spots.
Mm-hmm.
So I was tempted to run, but I didn't know where I was staying, especially with everything that's kind of going on. I didn't know if it was the right thing for me to do. So... I didn't run, but it was cool. It was really, really cool.
Nice.
And then I have my real estate thing, which is stressing me out right now because
why?
I have every 4 years as a broker, you have to get recertified. Not recertified.
4 years?
You got to take your credits. You got to get a certain amount of credits. It's been 4 years. I've actually renewed it already once. So of course I bought it a year ago, all my courses, and they expire today. They expire today. And I've been doing the courses, so it's not like I have to do all of them. But I have quite a bit more work, so I got to get that done. So for the last couple of days, I've been busy on that. So, but it's been good. Everything's good.
All right.
Everything's good. Yeah. So, again, if you're listening to us, thanks for joining us. I think we have a really cool show, a very important topic and a very important show. As we like to do before the show, we like to brainstorm good topics, and this one went out, and this one came from Taj. So Taj, go ahead and talk to us about what we're going to be talking about today.
We're going to be talking about, well, you don't want to say the topic name first, and then I can kind of...
Go ahead. This is your floor, man.
Well, basically,
I can't hold your hand forever, Taj.
Oh,
this is your hand. Come on. Do your
thing,
man. You're
lucky there's a table dividing us right now. For me... You know, just going off of what has happened, you know, over the last couple of days, basically, has been, I'm not going to be as vague, but I'm saying that it's been, for me, it was really hard to see that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, we know about race and we know about race relations. And there is some poll way back in, like maybe 2 or 3 years ago that was like, is racism still alive in America? And a lot of people didn't think it was, but mm-hmm. we were very much reminded, you know, we knew there was, but we were very much reminded about it,
yeah.
you know. And it's just, for me, it was something to talk about because it does change people's lives, you know, having to deal with this, even in today's world. You know, there's a lot of, not only, I wouldn't say more grief than loss, mm-hmm. I would say, but definitely this is something that affects everyone. And it's kind of like a dark cloud hanging over us.
Yeah.
And so it is. And we have a certain leadership that is not doing, you know, what they're supposed to be doing about it. And so there's a dark cloud hanging over all of us. And so I wanted to kind of talk about it in that way in terms of, you know, obviously trying to keep it light because it's, you know, this is what we do on a podcast. But at the same time, trying to give some hope and inspiration, you know, what we can do as people as well.
So that's what we're going to be talking about is dealing with hate, race relations, and because when Taj was, pitching the idea to me, when Taj was...
Taj, don't let him do that.
It's all right. They know that it's a joke.
He was pitching, with all his effort and all his notes, I said, keep talking. And he was just saying, my biggest concern was, how does it tie into, loss and grief? And I think Taj made a good point. He basically said, people... Go ahead, Taj.
Well, first I said the show's called Power of Love.
Yeah.
I said, what's the opposite of hate is love. So I said, first of all, I said, we're sponsored by DDJF, but at the same time, we have our mission is to preach love and hope. So I think it's very relevant in that way, and I think that it's very important for us to do.
Well, and the reason why I felt you're on the right path is because when you deal with, issues and differences and hate, it brings you down, and mm-hmm. Terrell, when you walked in, you said, I'm just not feeling right. What's going on?
It's just heavy.
Something seems, and
it's
I know what you're saying.
It's everywhere.
I know what you're saying. You just don't feel connected. It seems like, and we always talk, we always preach connection, And when it seems all you're seeing is division in our world, it makes it hard to feel connected. Yeah.
It's negativity.
Yeah.
It almost feels like you're walking around with a coat of negativity on you.
So, negative.
Filth. It's sad. It's like, I mean, I watch sports a lot. I keep up with all that. But something as big as this that happens in the world, yeah. they talk about it. And then you get people like LeBron James who, you know, talks about it as well. And it affects everybody.
So
it's unfortunate.
To be more specific, we're going to primarily talk about, you know, based on the events that happened in Charlottesville, Virginia, which was obviously a really sad moment in all of our lives, but in our country's mm-hmm. you know, status. It's just been a very ugly week or so for us, and it's just really sad. And I think Taji said it earlier, I think all of us, you know, obviously we feel it's getting somewhat better, but there's still those kind of reminders. And I could speak as someone who's a 39, am I 39? I don't know. No. But as an elder 30 black person, that I'm not going to lie. I mean, you guys probably, I don't know if you guys feel this, but when I go into a store, it always crosses my mind, you know, how people are judging me based off what I look like. And, you know, I don't even like holding things in stores because I feel like someone's going to accuse me of maybe stealing it. And then, you know, so I like to put things in the carts. And I when I explain that to friends and people, they don't get it. You know, they I don't know if they don't necessarily say you're lying, but they can't relate to that as much.
Right.
And then it's events like this is why I keep doing those kind of little things that I shouldn't have to do, you know? And I first of all want to say to Heather Heyer, who, do you guys know who she is?
Yes.
Who is she, Taj?
She was the lady that lost her life after being basically the car.
So, yeah, Heather Heyer is a Caucasian female who was working and just basically told her boss that she needed to go support, you know, equality and stand up, you know, in a peaceful protest against, you know, the racists. I'm not going to label them, but against the racists, the ones who were in the wrong. And she lost her life with, which I assume everyone's seen, the when the car just sped up like a crazy. And struck all the people. Obviously, I think there was over 19 or 20 injured, but Miss Heyer lost her life. So we want to first, you know, send our condolences and give love to her and her family. And
all,
it's just...
Yeah, and all the ones
and all the ones. And all the ones. Todd, you want to dictate where we're going?
Yeah, I mean, definitely, you know, I would love to hear calls from others of how they're feeling about it, you know, internationally as well, because everyone was looking at America to see what the response was going to be. And it wasn't a great response back from our leaders and our president.
And I'm going to get real. I'm going to get political for 1 minute before we start taking
the
calls.
I'm going to time you.
Because I try to stay equal and I try to see all sides, you know. And obviously the Democratic or the left side, right? That's Democratic.
Oh my gosh, really?
Yeah. That's how non-political I am. They've been having issues with Trump, and I'm going to say they because, you know, I don't want to get too political. I've always taught not to get, get this
politics way. And religion.
Yeah. Yeah. But they always had an issue with Trump's basically, it seems like, blatant lack of respect for different people than what he is from people, you know, from who he's hired into
minorities,
who he's elected to in the administration, to what statements he makes, and in this case, this is like, I'm trying to explain this properly, but this is the big rub. I think this is the problem, because you have people that think he did just fine. He said the truth. He said that there's bad people on both sides, you know, which is the case, I guess. Mm-hmm. But the problem is he missed the golden opportunity to do the right thing, in my opinion. And he should have basically called out who it was and how he's not for that, instead of trying to bring everyone to a fight. It's like seeing a high school fight and seeing, you know, one bully started it and is pummeling a kid, and the kid starts kicking back, and then the principal is saying, "You're both wrong for fighting." Mm-hmm. You know, so it seemed more that way. And I think that's the way, whether you believe that's what happened or not, that's the way it's strongly perceived by many of us. So I just want to clarify that because there's a little political divide as well.
Well, yeah. And the protesters, majority of them were you know, neo-Nazis, mm-hmm. alt-right, whatever you want to call them. And I think that in general, what they preach and what they teach, you know, is hate.
Yeah,
you know, for another race, and so that is something that is scary because there's not room in that in the world for that, mm-hmm. you know, and just giving them excuses and not denouncing them is really, it's very dangerous because more rise up.
Yeah,
I just think I mean, we live in this country. There's freedom of speech. But it's almost like now it's like freedom of hate. You know what I mean? Where there's and hate is completely like it's horrible. It's dangerous. It's evil. It's nasty. And at some point, it's just gonna overflow, and it's gonna be. I mean, the acts we saw is just out of hate,
mm-hmm.
and it's really. It's scary as a parent to see where we're headed.
Yeah.
You know, I remember earlier, it was either earlier that day or the day before, I was with Bryce and we were walking on the street, just walking on the sidewalk. And I was teaching Bryce to just always be aware of your surroundings. I was like, you never know, you know, there could be somebody on the phone driving, not paying attention to the light. They can run the light, so you have to always look around. There could be somebody crazy, you know, maybe someone's trying to get away from a police car or something and they're just driving. Have to be careful. And then something like that happens.
Yeah,
I mean, it's two separate things, but it's just, it's scary. Mm-hmm. We live in a very strange time right now where you don't feel safe anywhere because anything can happen. Another thing that happened, we were in the car, all of us, my family, and someone was in the right lane. I was in the middle lane, and he was a little bit ahead of me. He cut me off completely all the way to the left lane. And I rolled down the window to tell him, like, you know, put on a blinker or something, be careful. But it was so scary. I don't know if this guy has a gun or what he's doing. You know what I mean? And it's just scary.
Yeah.
It's just scary because he could have easily pulled out a gun and shot me.
One thing I wanted to read as well when we decided on the topic is Barack Obama, President mm-hmm. Barack Obama's tweet that became the most liked mm-hmm. tweet in history from Twitter. And it became, I think, like the third or fourth most retweeted. And the tweet, I just retweeted on the DDJF Twitter official page, but it's basically, no one is born hating another person because of the color of his skin or his background or his religion. And I just thought it was important to read that. And I think we all kind of know that, but it's a good, nice little reminder, you know, that I think us as parents and us as, we have to make sure we do a solid job teaching all of our kids and everyone who we can influence to love everyone and not to have stereotypes or not to teach hate. And sadly for some throughout the world, not just in this country, throughout the world, there's hate teaching going on, and that's got to stop. Now, were you going to say something, Joe?
No, I was just going to say it's everywhere.
Yeah.
I mean, a lot of it is hidden.
Yeah.
A lot of it is just blatant right in front of your face, but it's everywhere, and it's sad.
So give us a call at 323-203-0815. The phone lines are now officially opened up. And let us know your thoughts. How are you dealing with the new, you know, the new events that have taken place? How do you deal and move on if you feel you've been, and not just race, but if you feel you've been kind of on the outside of, or you've been different than, or you've been a minority and discriminated against, how you deal with that? How do you, you know, you could be a Caucasian lady, young girl going to an all black or all Hispanic school. How do you deal with it? Because I'm sure you've experienced some of those things. Let us know how you deal with it, how you overcome it, how you get through it, and how you pick yourself up. We're going to take our first phone call. Who do we have on the line with us?
Hi, this is Alicia. How are you?
Good, Alicia. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. I'm obviously calling in to talk about what happened over the weekend. in Virginia. Mm-hmm. And what I've seen within these past couple of days, it's really scaring me because, you know, I never thought that we would see this much hatred in at least our generation. We've definitely seen it in our parents' generation. And for me, my parents were directly involved in the civil rights movement, as were my grandparents. And I just, it scares me because I think it's now more open, whereas it wasn't, at least during my lifetime, wasn't as open, more hidden. And now we have to be more mindful of what's happening because it's so prevalent in the news and mm-hmm. and what we see. And I'm just hoping that, like you said earlier, that we teach our kids that they about love and differences between people. I was online yesterday and I came across your uncle's video for They Don't Care About Us, the prison version,
yeah.
which I hadn't seen in a really long time, but it reminded me of what was going on then and also, or now, I guess, I mean, and also that it was that song that I was listening to during my 9/11 mm-hmm. when my mom told me to turn on the TV. And so those two things just hit me. Like, mm-hmm. you know, how he was able to put into words what in history, metaphorically, and obviously that was the name of the album that the song was on,
right.
but that it we need to look to the past in order
to move
strengthen
forward.
The future
yeah.
and learn from what has happened. And I don't think that we have, but we need to.
Yeah, for sure. Thank you for the call, Alicia. We're gonna yeah. piggyback off that and go somewhere with that conversation. But thank you so much
yeah,
for the phone call.
Thank you.
And your insight.
You're welcome.
Take care. I think she hits a good point, because I think the problem is, I think, like she said, it's now very prevalent. You know, I think there was a time, especially when President Obama was president, there was a mindset that their racism is over, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And sadly, one thing I can say, even though I don't like to talk about politics, is our current president hasn't done the best job of making everyone feel connected, you know, mm-hmm. and it's kind of like sex in a way. Racism sells. Racism will get it gets everyone going. Everyone can relate to it. Everyone can talk about it. Everyone has something to say about it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's one reason why it's very prevalent. But I don't think it's ever completely went away. I don't know. I'm optimistic that one day it will. But I think we're still quite a ways away from that, until we have leadership and just communities that really stand against it. I think it's still going to be some time away. But I do feel these kind of incidences help move it along.
It's hard for me because in one point I do feel like it's shining a light on it. But mm-hmm. at the same time, it was a non-issue, you know. If you're a racist, or it was shameful to be a racist, you know.
You don't think it still is?
I think when people start making excuses about racism, that it's...
Like, give me an example. What kind of who can make an excuse about racism?
I think that without getting too political, yeah. but I think the president's response
Got
to
it.
This whole issue was despicable and disgusting. In terms of that, because he's supposed to be a leader,
yeah,
and it was more divisive than ever, and it, you know, when you have an ex leader of the KKK, thanking you for your response, that's not the side that you're supposed to be on, you know, and
that is a problem,
you know,
that is a problem,
and that's people see that, and especially minorities see that, and they say, where do I fit in? And I also said this in the, I guess when we were talking, one of our episodes, You know, I always love to commend the white people that stand up for the minorities as well. You
Big
know,
time.
You know, that have that speak and have that voice, because
Heather Hay.
Yeah, I think Hayer. It's so, you know, it's so courageous, but and so powerful. Obviously, the you know, for the minorities, it's very powerful too. But I'm just saying that, you know,
I think it's
it shows.
I mean, I don't want to say it, but empathy. In a way, it's even more powerful because it's basically they're going against, you know, what. Visually, the other side, the wrong people think you're yeah. supposed to be doing. So yeah. they're letting them know because, you know, if people are going to be racist against blacks, they're going to expect the blacks to not like it. But when another nationality comes to the defense,
any nationality
comes to the defense, it speaks volumes.
Yeah.
So a good point, Taj. I think that's a very strong and important
that goes
point.
With any situation, whether it's, you know, anti this or anti that. There's been other groups that have come to the aid of it, and I think that's, you know, what we're supposed to do as humans is protect each other.
Yeah, protect. Very, very, very important. We're gonna take another phone call. Who do we have on the line?
Hi, this is Tiffany.
How you doing, Tiffany?
Hey, Tiff.
I'm doing good. How are y'all?
Good. Good. What you got for us?
I wanted to comment on the race issues topic that you're covering today.
Yeah.
I think I have a bit of a different perspective on it, considering my upbringing.
Yes, yes.
I don't really want to throw my dad under the bus, but the way that, you know, most people are brought up, like currently now my generation, I'm 31, is, you know, love everybody, spread love, give love, you know, that sort of thing. You know, don't look at color, don't look at race. My father was born in 1927. Mm-hmm. So he came up Jim Crow in the South. So
yep.
that's all he basically knew. He almost got lynched when he was 6, actually, which is a totally different story. But, you know, I was brought up to be very aware of, okay, Tiffany, you're black. So-and-so is this color, so-and-so is this color. You know, watch how people treat you, mm-hmm. watch how you treat other people. You know, just it was very different. And, you know, I came from a place where I was, you know, kind of like hypersensitive and noticing, okay, there's X amount of black people here, there's X amount of white people here, X amount of, just carry yourself a certain way, just act a certain way, don't draw attention, don't do this, don't do, I mean, it was like a battle of the wits in my head constantly as a child.
Mm-hmm.
Of what to do, what not to do, how to act, how not to act. And, you know, like some people give their kids, well, this is the way you're supposed to be with the cops and all this sort of stuff. I didn't even have that talk, quote unquote. It was just something sort of ingrained in me, mm-hmm. which I guess is kind of awful considering that this is supposed to be land of the free and everything. And everybody's supposed to be, quote unquote, equal. Not quite that way if you're a little too tan, let's call it that, a little too tan for some people.
Mm-hmm. You know what, though?
And
Tiffany, I think, yeah, something real quick, I'm going to interject. I think a lot of us have kind of experienced that kind of, you know, those talks from an elder. You know, we got them as well from elder family members, you know, to be careful. And I think that the crucial thing is, which it seems like you do, is you just have to have that in the back pocket kind of thing, in the back of your mind, and to still be conscious enough to give everyone, you know, a free chance to openly love and to basically try to go in unbiased. But how do you go unbiased if you always have that kind of pre-teaching in your head? You know, that's the question. Or can you? You know?
Right.
So
I try not to be that way.
Yeah, yeah, but then again, it's one of those things. If you come across the wrong police officer, the wrong mm-hmm. any situation, wrong person, you know, in the alley, and you don't you're not on, you know, your alert's not up, and you put yourself in a worse position, you know, it's one of those things that right. you know your family was trying to protect you from, and it happens. That's the sad thing. I think some people think, oh, that doesn't happen. But it does still happen. Not everyone is as open and loving as, you know, all of our listeners probably are, you know. So it still happens, and that's why I don't really know that answer. I still think you kind of have to be prepared and be well aware. I have those talks with my son in a bit, you know, and Royal looks more Hispanic than black, so I kind of have to protect him from a Hispanic point of view. You know what I mean? If that makes sense,
right?
You know, because it's all about how they're judging him and how they're perceiving. And I think that's a human kind of a fallacy, a human issue that we quickly judge people. And that's, I don't know if just completely ignoring it and say just love all and don't see any color is the right answer, because then what happens when your loved one's in a bad position? You know?
Right. I think, you know, it should be, like you said, it should be like in the back of your mind, but not prevalent over everything else. You know, just kind of,
yeah,
don't ignore that little voice in the back of your head.
Yeah. Let me ask you a question. Has there been any experiences in your life where you were, you know, quite not only discriminated against or, but you
oh,
were...
Oh, God, yes.
Okay, now let me ask you, and
Unfortunately,
how do you deal with that, and have you gotten through that, and how you overcome that? So those are my two questions for you.
Okay, it was, oh, God, I think like a month and a half or so ago, my friend Ebony, you know, Ebony calls in all the time.
Mm-hmm.
My friend Ebony and I were on our way to go see a wrestling match. And we got pulled over, but, you know, because she had her taillights were out. We weren't aware of it. So the cop comes over, but what frightened me was I was the passenger. The cop came over on my side, and I automatically, in my head, thought of, I can't think of his name.
Castile?
Him.
Yeah.
Yes, I thought about it, and I was like, I really thought that I was going to get shot.
Yeah.
Which is awful, but I mean, I just thought about that. I was like, well, he's in the passenger seat, I'm in the passenger seat. I'm looking at the cop. I'm looking at the gun in the cop's holster because he's so close to me. And, you know, he's addressing my friend and asking for a registration and all this sort of thing. But, I mean, it's two black women with, I believe it was a Hispanic cop, but we were still very much frightened.
Yeah.
I know I was scared.
Yeah.
I was, like, shaking everything. And she was like, do you still want to go to Chipotle? I'm like, I'm not hungry anymore.
Yeah. No, that's
it. It was
so how did you, was it just time that helped you get through that kind of situation?
Yes, I mean, I'm very cautious of, you know, police and that sort of thing. And, you know, I know that they're not all bad. I know that there are some that are strictly there to protect and serve no matter what. But, I mean, you know, I still have to be cautious about, especially around law enforcement, you know, how I'm seen, how I'm perceived.
Yeah.
You know,
and to clarify, the majority are great. You know, I don't want this to come off as we're ranting against people.
No, I mean, because I've always seen all of these pictures of, you know, your uncle shaking hands with the police defending him, just a big crowd of police saving him from the stands. So I know that there are some good ones out there.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. I think we just gotta, it's gonna take time, but I think the more, you know, the more incidents we have where, and that's another problem, is the media is not gonna show all the good ones. They're just gonna show the ones that end up really bad, you know, which perpetuates
the problem. No, because
it's
sensationalism, like a good cop doing something won't sell, but I mean, a cop shooting somebody who's unarmed, oh yeah, that's gonna sell, that's gonna
clickbait.
I mean, you know, it's everything.
Absolutely, and that's contributing to the tension. You know, because...
Right, the distorted view.
And another thing, before we let you go, another thing, though, Tiffany, is that cop may be sensing some tension from you, and your tension's based on the fear, and he may think you're hiding something or you're about to do something. Your fear is based on you about to do something that you don't know if you should do, so it gets him up, you know, already. So it's a problem, and I'm hoping... And that, this is where I'll give Todd some credit. Just some. But this is where I think the leadership, and it takes huge leadership, you know, and it starts from the top. It starts from the president, because a great leadership from the president will trickle down to the cities and the governments, and that will trickle down to the police forces and everywhere. It kind of like, I do feel in a way our country kind of takes on the personality of the leader, you know, in some way. And
well, we're seeing that obviously now.
You know, and I think that's where we're feeling uneasy, is because it's like, our leader isn't, we're not connected to it, you know, not agreeing with how he's doing things. So, but that's it. Tiffany, thank you for the phone call. Awesome phone call.
Yeah. All right, thank you.
And have a great rest of your week.
I appreciate talking to you.
All right, cool. Take care of yourself.
All right.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
So, yeah. It's so, such a difficult thing, because it's hard. It's hard to find that. I can't even.
Let me ask you this. Do you lose sleep or anything from it?
From this?
Yeah. Like, how far is it going for you, Terrell?
It doesn't go super far for me. It bothers me. Mm-hmm. It does bother me. that
I think this it bothers
our world.
I think it bothers almost everyone.
It bothers everyone
who knows right.
And I think whether they're aware or not, it's bothering them because they just feel right. something's wrong. Right. You know what I mean? And it just adds on to the normal stress. But it's again, as a parent, it's just hard because with Bryce and Adrian and your kids as well, it's you don't want to raise them, obviously, mm-hmm. with any type of. I mean, but you have to be honest. You have to be real. There's things that happen, and it's racism. Racism is in this world.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. And you cannot ignore it. And that's something like I go with Bree about. Because yeah. she's like, I don't want to teach my kids race. They don't. There's no color. There's no this and there's no that. But for me,
well, in theory, that's
and I get that.
That's correct.
I completely yeah. get that, and I completely understand.
Yeah.
However, that's what we wish. That's what we. That's yeah. that's I think the ideal situation. You know, there's things. You know, my kids don't look African American fully. Mm-hmm. You know, they're mixed, but. There's racism in yeah. this world.
And the thing is, I mean, I try to think wide, you know, broad. It's not just racism. It's prejudice and
yeah.
you know, not being open to different people. You know, whether
right.
it's religion. And I know we keep saying racism, and that is the topic primarily because of what happened in Charlottesville. That has a lot to do with racism. But mm-hmm. it really pertains to differences.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I know. I was going to say racism and anti-Semitism.
Yeah. Anti-Semitism.
We're struggling with the words.
Yeah. It's been
a lot. Well, I don't use that word a lot. That's the problem. Mm-hmm. I read it a lot, but I don't use that word a lot because yeah. I want this world to be better. And it's just... You know, and it's like we're going backwards. We really are.
I think these kind of conversations help, though. You got to talk about it.
But the problem I have with anything that we're talking about, it's like sometimes you're preaching to the choir. You know?
Yeah, but you know what? It helps. You still feel connected.
Yeah. You feel like you're in a community, and yeah. that's true. Like you feel like you're not alone, and I agree with that.
I understand.
But are we reaching? You know, as a world, are we reaching people that? Are on
you,
the other side.
You may, maybe not, but what I think we're doing is we're connecting and educating and helping others stay strong. And when they go down the liquor store and they see,
yeah.
or the market and they see a different nationality, they'll be extra nice. It's kind of like yeah. what I do.
Yeah.
I like to call myself a pretty good tipper. Not that guy.
That's debatable. Let's
I'm
see.
Not that guy who's just throwing $100.
Okay, yeah. I was gonna say
I've done that once, yeah. but
wow,
yeah, I have just to see the reaction and help the person. Yeah. It was cool, but
yeah.
I do tip well.
Yeah,
but I make sure like I tip or I'm extra nice.
To
people that aren't like me,
mm-hmm.
strictly to change their perception.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but that's because you're aware of the perception that,
yeah.
that people have.
On yeah. yeah, and to clarify, I tip well for everyone.
Yes.
That was probably not the right
yeah.
scenario, but basically be nice. I'm extra...
Generous? Cautious?
Extra cautious, extra proper. You know what I mean? With and not just with Caucasians, but with Hispanics and you know Asians and Indians, with all nationalities, because this is another big issue I have, and I'm not afraid to say it. Our entertainment, really, some of it's self-inflicted, some of it's not self-inflicted, but we don't portray the best of our nationality. We don't, as a whole. It's gotten better, but as a whole, I still have an issue with, you know, and it's tough for me because...
Okay, finish what you're saying.
Yeah, it's tough because... You know, there's some artists there that are celebrated and you know, and it's like the worse you do, the more popular you are. So it's like perpetuates the stereotype for the other side. And that's a problem. If you only experience one type of person over and over and you're only seeing one type of person, in theory, you'd still love for them to look past it. But that's why it's hard for them to look past it. And I wish we and I bet you every nationality can say the same thing. You know, but I wish we did a better job of promoting wellness. That's just how I feel.
Yeah, it's tough because that's a long line right there because it also depends what they're going to allow you, what they
that's
allow
right.
to succeed. They'll
true.
Allow you to have this one image and they'll make that popular, even though it's not the best representation of your your race, yeah. they'll push that to make that look, that's what's working. Well, so then everybody growing up feels like that's what's working, so that's what I want to do.
That's true. It's and
because I, you know, yes, there is the entertainment industry and what they're putting out and what's hot right now. Not all of it is great. Not all of it's the image you want to portray. But that doesn't mean there's a ton of other artists that are doing something better. You know what I mean?
Which is,
I mean, it's like we always say. It's like in our, you know, father's generation and our generation was Marvin Gaye. Mm-hmm. It was all the great singers. And who's our Marvin Gaye now?
Well, and I know the times change. And it's, my point is this. It's harder for an incredibly young R&B singer to get a deal versus a great
right.
gangster rapper.
Right. But you my know? Point is there's an R&B singer out there who's incredible, but they're not making that hot. They're not making yeah. that the thing to be. They're pushing the other Whoa. Side. So then all these people who are trying to do R&B music is like, there's nothing there. So yeah. let's do this instead.
You're talking about America, though. Because in other yeah. places,
but
in the world,
but and it doesn't just doesn't take singing, and it takes the right artist.
Sad,
and I agree with you that the companies and the media outlets have their say in it and have mm-hmm. their hand in it. But a lot of times, it's also the artist. You know, it's,
that's
I
true.
It's, I take someone like Kendrick Lamar. I love that guy because he's doing it the right way. He's being honest about his situation, which includes struggle and conflict and issues. But he's very. It seems like he cares about what he's projecting.
He understands the platform.
He understands his platform.
And the responsibility
he has. You know, and I went to a show a couple weeks ago, and it's like he was there to put on a great show. It's like he had the older mindset, but was mm-hmm. doing what current music. You know, he wanted to put on a great show.
How did you feel at that concert?
Felt great. Felt cool.
Did you feel old?
Yeah.
Did.
Yeah, we are, man. There's no hiding that.
So you're like a chaperone when people look yeah. at you like, what are
no,
you
they weren't
here?
Looking at me like that, but I definitely felt like a chaperone, that's for sure. But and it, what's crazy is all the songs and even Travis Scott opened up, who's okay. a rapper. These crowds know every word to yeah. these songs, and I'm like, what is it? I felt like I, you know, I've been yeah. in prison for 5 years. I don't even know what's going on.
Disconnected.
So yeah, it's different. Todd, do we have anything on Twitter? Have you not been looking, Todd?
No, I've been looking at just articles. I get very, not emotional, but I get very riled up about this stuff. Mm-hmm. And so for me, it just, it will get better if we all stand and kind of like.
Let me ask you a question. Yeah. What's the solution, Todd?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I want to hear Todd's
solution. Todd, you go. How does this get fixed?
This gets fixed when people that are high. The thing is that the higher ups, the ones that are in power right now, have to denounce it and have to, because people look up to people, and that's how we're designed, I think, in some way, which is weird. But we look up to people that are in higher positions.
Followers.
Yeah.
I'm gonna tell you why, though.
What?
Real quick before you finished, yeah. why? Because I heard about, I already knew that, but the scientific reason, because there was a less chance way back in the day of getting killed if you're with a group.
No, okay.
So you naturally are inclined to be with a group.
Want to be with the majority.
You just want to be with, you don't want to be alone.
Yeah.
Right. Because back in the day, if you're alone, you were easy target picking. For prey.
Yeah.
Isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
I thought that was interesting. Okay, go ahead, Todd.
No, so I was basically yeah. saying that I think for that reason, it's like, I want to say it's going to get better, but until, like, just, it's just like anything, until someone denounces it and says this is wrong and this is right, like parents do,
right.
wrong and right. There's a gray area, and that gray area is where everyone's living right now in terms of saying, you know, with Trump saying that there's both sides were equally, you know, at fault. That's not right. That's not you know, and there's and that's the thing.
All right, let's take this phone call, and then I'm going to ask you guys one last question before we wrap up. The phone call I just left it. So call right back if you call.
Is it a question? Shoot.
Oh, wait, let me ask you. I'll ask you, Taj, and then you can finish it. Do you like lose sleep, or do you get saddened when you get these experiences? How does it affect you in your day-to-day?
It affects me pretty bad. That's the problem.
Like, are you going to go out and eat donuts? Or what are you going to do?
No, I don't, because I don't.
Taj doesn't like donuts.
Yeah, I'm not a. It doesn't affect me. I get more. I kind of like a sponge. I hold it in, kind of in a way. But for me, it's just, I hate seeing injustice, and I hate seeing people having to deal with stuff that they shouldn't have to deal with in that way. And I always try and see the best in people, and that's, and when I get disappointed in people, it really bothers me.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the thing. It's like, I knew this was, I knew that we had.
So how do you get through it?
I think just trying to focus on positivity, which is what we're doing.
Race, know, what, like opposite examples.
Yeah, the reason I brought up anti-Semitism is because the people that were there were also neo-Nazis and whatever, and they preach anti-Semitism as well. So they were saying stuff like death to the Jews and all that stuff as well.
Mm-hmm.
So it wasn't just about black people or about minorities that they were against. They were also against Jewish people. So just hate in general. And I think that's the thing too, is that I think that we have to condemn that quickly, and we have to teach our children that that's not right, because as we said, children aren't born racist.
Do you watch a lot of news?
No, I follow the news. I don't watch a lot of news because it irritates me. I see manipulation.
Okay.
Especially on certain channels. I see, and you don't get me, I've used that word sheeple before, and that just really because I feel people like this world are just follow, and they don't read and study.
All right, we got a phone call. This will be our last phone call today. Who do we have on the phone with us?
Yeah, hello guys. It's Toya calling you from France.
All right. Hey, yes, how we get an international
opinion.
What do you got for us, Toya?
Yeah, I'm fine. What about you? Are you okay, guys?
We are doing
good.
Well.
Great.
We're doing well.
Well. Oh, I wanted to say that we missed you last week, TJ. You did a good job, guys, but I really missed hearing your voice.
This is the best call so far. Yeah.
I wanted to call because I wanted to ask you a question, TJ. You posted a video a few weeks ago with Family Rule,
mm-hmm.
teaching Jojo that we should love everybody, even those who don't like us.
Yes.
I think that's the most difficult thing to do. And I wanted to ask you if you managed to do this, to love those who don't love you.
Yes. I at first I was trying to remember that video, but then I remembered it clearly. It's harder to do than to say. But it's something I'm trying to preach my kids to do. I really commend people. My grandmother's one like that. She's been so wronged by so many people, but she still has incredible love for everyone. And I admire that. I think I'm better than most. I think we all are, because we, you know, from our parents and especially our grandmother. But it's something I want my kids to also have, is that love for everyone. And I'm not the best at it, but I want them to be better than me, that no matter what, who you, and that's different. Obviously, you should always blanket love someone. You should always start out loving everyone. I do believe that, and I know we all do here. But it's hard when someone's wronging or showing, you know, discriminative or being mean to you because of something you look. I kind of feel like it's the Martin Luther King way. You know, you got to kind of beat them with love. You know, and I do believe that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's the right answer to hate. Because I think people just hate what they don't understand or they don't know.
Mm-hmm.
So I always try to keep the communication on and to speak to people. But it's very hard to like someone who is attacking you all the time.
You know, and it's, I think we've talked about it on a prior show, is that I think it's very important to not let someone's, you know, negativity bring you down. And when they're hating you or showing, you know, being really mean to you, if you let it eat you up, it's going to hurt you more. And I really feel like you have to take the high road and just love them and love them for their flaws. And you know, you don't want to put yourself in a vulnerable position where you're going to get taken advantage of. But you could still be nice and respectful and try to love. And it's not easy. It's not easy. I don't want to make it seem like it's something I do all the time. But it's something that I see my grandmother do. And it's something that I think is the right thing to do. So, I think that's the way to do it.
And you know what happened in the in your country a few days ago? That happened so many times in Europe and especially in France. So I can tell you, it's very racism is everywhere, and it's very very difficult at that time, because you know I was born in France, but my parents came from Algeria, so I have the double nationality, and it's very difficult to have Arabic origin when you live in France nowadays.
Yeah. Well, stay strong, Toria. I hope you're doing well and your family, your little boy's doing well. But thank you for the phone call. Yes. And we got to wrap up the show.
Yeah.
All right. But okay. Take care, Toria.
Okay. Thank you, guys. Take care. Bye.
Bye-bye. She's awesome. I like Toria. But yeah. I just... To wrap up the show, we can all say our little lines, but I just think it's... Todd, you want to start?
Yeah, I think you asked for a counter. I think the counter is just spreading love, and the Toria said it's about getting to know each other.
Mm-hmm.
In terms of the more you know someone, the harder it is to hate someone mm-hmm. in that way.
Terrell?
Yeah. My thing is that it's always been here, racism, and I think now, lately... It's just really been thrown into your face,
mm-hmm.
and you're almost amazed at. Well, some people are amazed that these things go on in this world, and I think one of the things is that by not putting it down, you're allowing people to have that. You're giving people that option of thinking maybe that's okay,
right.
maybe that's where I should go, you know. And I think our leaders need to.
Do a better job
in saying that's the wrong thing to do, instead of saying both sides are got their good and bad people. It's just not.
Yeah, that's deflecting.
It's not the direction we need to be going in.
And my thing is, I think we will get there. I think it's going to take time. I don't know if we'll see it in our lifetime, but I think eventually those strong prejudice and strong opinions against others will slowly dissipate. I think also the mixture of people.
Yeah,
that's naturally, that's the best, you know. Hope. So it's like we're going mm-hmm. down a hill at least. That's the wrong way to say it, but you know, we're moving in the right direction just because of that. And I think the key is though is to take the high road and to try to still love everyone. You have to, because and to tie it to the DDJF theme, you don't want it to bring you down. You don't want it to get you depressed and cause you issues. So learn from it, be the best human you can, spread love, and that's pretty much it. Right, fellas?
Yeah.
Anything else?
Better. That's it.
Okay, well, we'll be back here next Wednesday from 1 to 2. If you found our program helpful and can afford to do so, please go to ddjf.org. and support the foundation. Any donation amount helps us support those in need. It helps us provide this show and the music therapy classes we do. And we just want to thank everyone. And again, spread love to everyone. We are done.
See you next week.
Adios. Thank you for listening to The Power of Love. We are here to provide hope, resources, and a community so no one feels alone in their grief. Support for our Power of Love radio show comes from a variety of generous donors, including supporters from institutions, individuals, and corporations through the D.D. Jackson Foundation. DDJF is a nonprofit 501c3 organization.